Okay, Theo, can we move that out in the middle?
I can't. If you want me to,
please do. I was at Rock Church for 18 and a half years, and one of the men, he was about 2 inches shorter than I was, and he thought he was about a foot taller than I was, and he would say, "Joel, if you'd stand on a box, we could see you." And I said, "If you'd sit on a box, you could see me." So that's the joke we had between us. And when I retired, he gave me a walking stick about that long. He cut it off and gave it to me. But I love people. I love to tease, and I love to be teased. Love to be here. So grateful for the opportunity to come here and study the Word of God with you. I hope during the week that I can build you up and you'll build me up, and we'll be closer to the Lord when this week is over. As I think about it and what we need to do, brethren, we need to be faithful. We're going to have a great meeting if just everybody that's here comes back this week. Whether we have any visitors or not, if you're here every night, we're going to have a great meeting. Now, I know that some of you are in age. Someone this morning asked me, said, "How old are you?" I said, 83. She said, "Child." She indicated I was a young person. But the greatest joy you can give is to ask someone else to bring you here if you can't drive. If you feel like that you ought not be driving at night, the greatest joy you'll give anybody is to ask them to pick you up and bring you here. There's a lady in the nursing home this morning that I was supposed to pick up. I had my wife to call my son-in-law to have somebody go by and pick her up. That's a joy to me, to get to go by and pick her up. And so you're doing someone a favor if you says, "Pick me up so I can be at service." So let's deal with that and do the best that we can. This morning, I'd like to talk to you about being faithful. We're in an age where that we make vows one to another, and we don't mean them. We make vows to God, and we don't mean it. We take it lightly. We serve a faithful God. In Lamentations, the 3rd chapter, in verse 22, he said, "It is of the Lord's mercy that are new every morning, because his compassions fail not." They are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. We serve a faithful God. The Bible is just filled with God being faithful. We need to remember that. God called Abraham in Genesis 12 to come out of his land and go into another land. And he said to him that he would be his shield. In other words, "Abraham, don't you worry, I will be with you." He said, "I'm going to make out of you a great nation. Your name is going to be great. And you're going to receive this land. But your people are going to be in a strange land. And they're going to be strangers there for 400 years. 400 years? Abraham will never get to see that. But he knew that God was faithful, that he would do what he said he would do. Joseph went down into Egypt, having the dreams and the promises that he had. Potiphar's wife lied about him. He went to prison. Where's God? He got out of prison and became the second in command in Egypt. God was with him. Oh, if we remember that God is faithful, that he will be with us. I don't know how that people die and close their eyes without God, knowing that I'm going to face a reality without God. And then we come to the book of Exodus and we notice Moses. He saw a burning bush. It didn't go out, and so he went over. And God told him to take off his shoes for his standing in holy ground. And then God reminded Moses, look, my people are down in Egypt and they've cried out unto me. And I've heard them. Just remember sometimes when you cry, we have a faithful God and he hears our cry. Amen. If we are faithful to him, we need to keep that in our mind. And he said to Moses, I'm going to send you down. And Moses said, wait a minute. He remembered how that he had to leave Egypt 40 years earlier. Why me? Why not send somebody else? And God said, I will be with you. That ought to be enough to go anywhere. When God says, I will be with you. But Moses said, I'm not a good speaker. And God said, I know that. He said, but I will be with your mouth. What a promise. Look what all Moses accomplished. Because God was with him. He said, Pharaoh shall know that I am the Lord. The Egyptians shall know that I'm the Lord. The Israelites shall know that I am the Lord. How faithful God has been with his people. Throughout the ages of time, God is faithful. Gideon went to God and he started pleading. Where are all the miracles we heard about down in Egypt? Here we are being oppressed by another nation. Where's God? And God said to Gideon, I've heard you. And I'm going to use you to deliver them. Wait a minute, Gideon said. I'm from a small tribe. I'm from a poor family. And we are poor. Why me? I think all of us say that. Why me? Friends, that's an excuse. You'd be surprised what God can do with you. I graduated from high school with an old boy. He said he was an elder in the church and he married a bootlegger's daughter. I thought, what in the world is he marrying her for? I asked her about 3 years ago. I said, would you write down the names of all the people that you have had an influence on that have become Christians. If I remember correctly, there were 56. Her daddy was a bootlegger. He was baptized. Her mother was baptized. Her brothers were baptized. Her grandmother was baptized. And they've led out to other people. What can I do? If I remember correctly, she didn't even finish high school. What can God do with you? If you go to Him in prayer and ask Him to open doors for you and to help you. He said to Gideon, I'm going to be with you. There are too many, send them home. There are too many, send them home. 300 men. That Gideon defeated that army. He said, I don't want you to say, Gideon, look what I've done. I want you to know that you've defeated them because I am with you. Do we understand that? That God has promised that He will be with us, and what we can do if we'll just do it. If we'll just submit to His will. I remember a number of years ago, my mother invited Grover Stevens to eat with us. I said, oh no, Mom. No. Daddy drinks, he curses, and what he's going to say? And Mama said, he's going to eat with us. That night, he talked me into going to Florida College. What a glorious day it's been for me. What a change in my life. And before Grover died, I had the privilege of telling how grateful I was to him that he came to our house and was baptized. My daddy was baptized when he was 61. And my children can't believe that he's the man that I knew. They knew a different man after he became a Christian. What God can do when God is going to be with us. Well, we begin to stop and think. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And we notice again over in Matthew. He said, go teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then he said, lo, I am with you always. All the way. When you're born again, born into my family as a child of God, to be a part of my body, to be a part of my family, I will be with you. What does that mean to you? Do you feel as Moses felt when he went down to Egypt? God's with me. Do you feel Abraham when he's went from place to place? God is with me. Do you feel like Gideon? I've got a handful of men, 300. I'm going out there to confront an army. But God is with me. I want everybody to leave this building this morning that's a child of God to know that God promised to you, I will be with you. In the Hebrew book, he said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Now we may get that feeling that, but God's there. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Friend, rocks that not that solid. If God promises to be with us, He will be with us. We need to be faithful. The second thing that I'd like to remind you of is the fact that we need to recognize how tragic unfaithfulness is. I reminded recently of a woman that's been unfaithful to her husband for 5 years. She admitted it the other day. 5 years. How tragic, how sad. Unfaithful to the husband. Well, God wants us to see how bad that is. In the book of Isaiah, he starts off and he said, "These my children that I nourished and brought up out of Egypt, they've been unfaithful to me." What happens when we see God? Isaiah chapter 6 simply says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up." God's not a man. When you see God, you see how sinful you are. Because as they said, "I'm a man of unclean lips, because I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." One of our weaknesses, we fit into the crowd. We become like them. Friends, we need to look at God. When we look at God, we'll see who we are. And we'll see who we can become. The power that each individual has in this audience to become somebody in the sight of God is a promise that God made to you. It's just a matter of you accepting the promise that God has made to you. So God then said, "Hosea, I want you to go out and get married. I want you to marry a woman of whoredom. Hosea, I want you to marry Gomer. She's a prostitute." Wait a minute. God did some things that's unbelievable to his prophets to teach his people a lesson. "I want you to marry Gomer, this prostitute." He did. She had 3 children. And God said, "You name the first of them, I will avenge the blood of Jezreel." God said, "Things don't pass by me without me noticing. I'm going to avenge the blood of Jezreel." The second child is born, and he said simply, "I will have no pity on Israel. My people that I've been married to have become unfaithful to me. As Gomer has been unfaithful to Hosea." Oh, look at the third one. This is the one that fascinates you. "Not my people." How would you as a man live with a woman and she's got a child and you know it's not yours? And she had the child while she's living with you. I knew a woman that had a child out of wedlock and her husband knew it. But you imagine living with a woman and she has a child by another man. That's what Gomer did. Why did God ask Hosea to do that? To let you and I see how terrible it is when we're not faithful to God. All we think, and we look back at the Bible and we think about Genesis chapter 19, Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, that's terrible. Friends, Judges 19 is worse than that. This Levite had married a woman, a concubine, which is inferior marriage, with limited ability and with limited assets. He married this woman and she left him and went home for 4 months. Judges 19. He went up there to get her and bring her back home. And finally, after his father stopped pleading with him to stay so many days, or he didn't give in to him, he's on his way home. He decided to stop in Gibeah and spend the night with an old man. And the people came in and mourned that Levite. And the old man and the Levite rebelled, and the Levite gave his concubine to these men, and they abused her all night. And the next morning she's laying at the threshold, and he said, "Get up, get up." She was dead. He cut her in 12 pieces and sent her throughout Israel. And everybody except the tribe of Benjamin, they decided, because Gibeah was in Benjamin, they would defend them, and they did. They went into battle. The first day the Israelites lost 22,000 people. They went to God again, and God said, "Go into battle." 18,000 of the Israelites died. 40,000 Israelites have been killed because of the unfaithfulness of this woman. She went on. God told them again, "Go into battle." And that day they killed 25,000 of the tribe of Benjamin. 65,000 people died as a result of the unfaithfulness of this woman. If you go back and look at the roots of the tree, you see that? The tribe of Benjamin's all but snuffed out. Think of the pain. How bad. How terrible is unfaithfulness. God paints some horrible pictures. Tell us that when you're unfaithful to Him, how bad it really is. Now we could stop here and talk about how bad it is when a man's unfaithful to his wife. When a wife is unfaithful to her husband. And we live in a day and age where that's everywhere. But friends, the greatest crime is to be unfaithful to God. To be unfaithful to God. Do we realize what a wonderful thing it is to be faithful? Pretty soon I will have been married 58 years. I'd rather be dead than look in my wife's face and tell her I've been unfaithful to her. I'd rather be dead than look into my son's face and tell him I've been unfaithful to your mother. I'd rather be dead than look into my daughter's face, 3 of them, and say I've been unfaithful to your mother. But friends, the worst thing we can do is be unfaithful to our God, who has been so faithful to us. You know, so many times, and probably tears tonight, I'm not sure. If we believe in God, we've got to believe what He said. Amen. And if we believe what He said, we're going to do what He's asked us to do. Well-known evangelist died recently. He was preaching, he said, Ananias said to Saul, "Arise." And that's what you people need to do. His farm wasn't very far from where we lived in Charlotte, North Carolina. Why didn't he say the rest of it? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If we're going to be faithful to God, we've got to be faithful to His Word. We've got to do what He's asked us to do. And when we do, we are the bride of Christ. That's who we are. So we've got to be faithful to Him. And that's my prayer for this congregation this week and forever, to the day that we all die, that we will be faithful to God. Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be faithful. Stand by Him to do what is right. Again, John said in Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give unto thee the crown of life. Be faithful. Members of the church, God's children, I'm pleading with you, be faithful to God. Do what God has asked you to do. That's what it's all about. Brethren, we need to realize who we are. In Hebrews chapter 12, he said, seeing we're compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Get rid of it. Looking unto Jesus. Put your eye on Jesus. Looking to Jesus. That's where we need to look, brethren. That's what's going to keep us faithful. We discourage one another. We see brethren that don't care, not concerned. Look at Jesus. Quit looking at your brethren. Look at Jesus. And be determined you're going to do what is right. That's all He's asked. That we be faithful to Him. And that's what we need to do. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll never turn His back upon us. It's in our hands now. Are we going to be faithful to Him? Who are we? Who are we, brethren? I want you to ask yourself the question this morning. Have I been faithful to God? I was baptized when I was 16 years old. About 6 months later, I recognized that I'd sinned. I went before the congregation and admitted it and begged them to pray for me and with me. One of the members of Hillview told me the other day, said, Joel, I was in the audience when you went forward. I'd been reading my Bible and studying, and I wanted to become a Christian. But when you went forward, it gave me the courage to go forward too. And she said, that night, I was baptized. You never know the influence you're having on somebody else when you're faithful to God, doing what's right. People are watching you. Where you work, your children are watching you. Oh, if you lose your children. When my first baby was born in Charlotte, North Carolina, I looked at her and I said, Cindy, if I let you go to hell, what a sad parent I'll be. Do you realize that? Everybody's watching you. But more than anything else, God in heaven is watching you. And we sing the song sometimes, if heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what will I do? What will I do if I come to stand before the Lord? And heaven's not my home. Do you know anything sadder than that? Friends, you have the opportunity this morning to become a child of God. To be buried with Him in the watery grave of baptism. To be raised up to be a new creature with a new name. New relationship with the Father. You have the opportunity this morning as a child of God if you've been unfaithful. Admit it to the brethren. Or if you are weak and need help and prayer, you have that opportunity this morning to become faithful again while together we stand and sing, "Won't You Come?"
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, "Come to me, I am the way, for I am the loving hope, the Lord He loves you so."
Only a step.